Hello, my name's Ollie.
And my name is Nick.
This is the second of two podcasts called You, Me, The World and Barnet. If you haven't listened to the first one, you should. You don't have to. This one follows exactly the same format as the last one, really. It's a load of stories and then some recordings of people commenting on those stories.
Oh, and just so you know, before we launch into it, the conversations have been recorded over Zoom. So some people's sound quality might be better than others, and you might hear some background noises going on in people's audio recordings. Now, the project is called You, Me, The World and Barnet, but we think the name Who Supports Barnet could also be the title.
Okay, here are four stories with comments for your ears, mind and heart.
Let's get on with it, eh? Here's the first story. Have you ever been in a Zoom meeting where you're in the meeting and there's lots of people in the waiting room and then all the people get let in at the same time? Well, that's what's about to happen here. We're at the weekly Friday night meeting of an inclusive theatre company for young adults. On their website, it says,
"The group is committed to inspiring and developing artistic and imaginative performers, both in mainstream and with learning disabilities."
The Admit All button is pressed. There are a couple of seconds of boxes containing people's video feeds multiplying on our screens.
And then the full complement of people are in the meeting, 19 in all. And when that happens, there is quite simply a cacophony of noise, of people saying, "Hello, hi, how are you?" Every now and then there's a sliver of a moment of silence, but as soon as this is noticed, the cacophony starts up again. It seems as if every person in the group wants to make sure they're individually saying hello to every other person, Zoom call be damned. And everyone seems to be smiling, bouncing, vibrating with energy.
This is the first of two groups from this inclusive theatre company for young adults that we'll be working with this evening. You'll hear more about the other one later on. The group are multicultural, multi-age. This is not a samified group. People listen to each other and speak quickly. This focused energy holds the whole workshop. People staring directly down their cameras. Everyone is smiling in recognition of what others are saying and waiting for their turn to respond.
This is basically the closest we've come to a Zoom meeting feeling like real life.
And of course, we ask the question.
Agree or disagree? Barnet is a great place to be.
We get thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle, and we hear what everyone thinks, going round each member of the group, hearing the good, the bad, and a little bit of the indifferent.
The group talk about the beauty of Barnet, the parks, the transport, the shops, the schools, how it's like having the best of both worlds, living in the country but being near the city.
And they also talk about the noise, the crime, the racism, the discrimination, and the litter. One of the last people to speak takes a breath before beginning to share his thoughts. He speaks analytically, his words following a regimented rhythm.
It depends. There are positive and negative impacts. Positives are cultural, races, religions in London. You get to meet new people, get to invite their culture within your home, new cultures, new languages, lots of different races and religions. However, it can be bad. Very expensive to live, especially if you don't have enough money to afford housing. There are homeless people in an expensive place. It's compact in rush hour, hard to move around. Sometimes I'm late for work and buses could be packed. Depends what you think London means to you.
And just like in the first podcast, after each story, you're going to hear a comment from someone responding to what they've heard. Here's the first one.
Lovely. Well, I have to say that the thing that jumped out at me was, I want whatever the young adult theatre group are having for breakfast, because they were just sort of clearly effervescent and a lot of fun, and just they seemed like a very joyful bunch. And just like lovely to hear some of the things they were saying to each other and to you guys. So I found that really fun to listen to. I think on the whole, for most people, it's been hard in many ways. Some people have found it much harder than others. Some people have had genuinely difficult, challenging things happen. But I think for all of us, it's been tiring at the very least, just I find, just sort of work, living in my head and not much beyond. I think there is a certain sadness and that was my general, and like I say, I want to go and find this theatre group and get them to cheer me up whenever I'm feeling low.
Okay, here's the next story.
Could you just repeat that again for Mum?
We're with a few service users of a charity that works with older people in Barnet. Two of the women on the call are mother and daughter. They sit next to one another, a little squished. The mother, with a crop of white, wiry hair, slightly hunched, always seems to have a slight smile on her face. The daughter wears a headscarf and glasses, intense stare. They have a watercolour on the wall above them, a picture of a stone bridge over a stream. Agree or disagree, I feel connected to other people in Barnet.
Could you just repeat that again, for Mum?
The daughter says.
What do you think, Mum?
The mother says.
I do like Barnet because I've lived here for many years now. I like the area and the parks. There are lots of people I know. I did feel connected when I was able to walk about more, which I can't at the moment. I'm not out and about apart from when she takes me down to the park.
The daughter interrupts.
Well, I don't take her anywhere now because of COVID. A couple of years ago, she had a dementia club she enjoyed.
The mother nods her head towards her legs.
Broken bones. Can't get up and walk. My daughter has to get me out of the chair. That's it. Disability. I am a contented sort of person. I'm not someone looking for this, that and the other. I like things to be settled, really.
And then the daughter says...
I was saying to Mum before the workshop, I'm probably the wrong person to ask about Barnet. I don't have much to say that's good. I came back here 3 years ago, but I've never felt connected to people in Barnet, even when I was young.
When you've got someone with a disability, it is extraordinarily difficult.
The other person on the call is a woman wearing a white t-shirt sat on a white sofa in front of a white wall. She speaks with controlled feeling. She also has a watercolour on the wall behind her of a field and some trees along the banks of a river.
I had a Down syndrome sister. She died January last year. Life is very limited with that. I used to bring her up here at weekends. I never really went anywhere with her. There wasn't anywhere I could go, just to the local pub. She liked to have a drink. My life revolved around her when she was here. I find I have to work hard in communicating with people, responding. It's not easy to connect. And if you're a bit low, it's nearly impossible. And I've had my low times. I'm divorced, and I did find that I just struggled away. But since then, I've decided I've got to get out there. I don't go to pubs anymore. I don't go dancing. So it is very limiting for someone from the point of view of where I am, and perhaps you.
She indicates the daughter.
The church is my biggest outlet, and I started playing the harp recently. I've joined a music group, and that's really fantastic because none of us can play. The guy that runs it is a saint. He just takes our little twangings and makes a song out of it. That's been fantastic. No, it is hard to communicate with people. You have to work hard at it. You have to be brave. You have to say, well, I don't care. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to join it And if they don't like me, they don't like me. I'm at an age where I don't give a damn what anyone thinks of me anymore. But when I did care, it was tough. I will go back to when you're looking after someone. It's hard. It's really hard. Very isolating. And you can't walk away from it. With my sister, she used to walk in front of me and I was behind her. She was the queen. So she created a different world for me. And I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from other people, from all walks of life. You're going to hear two comments now from two different people who responded to different parts of that story. The second person's sound quality is not good, but we thought what she had to say was so interesting that we decided to include it anyway. So do the best you can to listen to what she says and not the quality of the sound recording.
The big issue, and I used to work with adults with learning disabilities, so I'm quite interested to sort of hear the experiences there. But it is true, it can be very, you know, people still have, there's still quite a lot of stigma, I think, and people feel it even if it's not there, you know, that they're not, that, you know, places aren't always accessible or acceptable of people with disabilities of any kind. And I think there's a lot of work to be done there in terms of, you know, educating people and making sure that everyone has a fair crack of the whip, I suppose.
The woman in the white dress and the white background, you know, that was traumatic in a way because, you know, to me, colour is very important. And if somebody's either dressed very black or very white, I think, oh, my gosh, what is going on here? And I'm thinking, yeah, there is a lot of, mind you, there is a lot of trauma at the moment with everybody, wherever you look. There's trauma in the hospitals, there is trauma in the community, there is trauma in the faith groups. So there is a lot of trauma. But as, like you said, you know, there are some positives and we probably need to fix on the positives and be optimistic, but also supporting those who are going through trauma. I think it is appreciating, acknowledging the trauma, and then finding out how they would like to move forward with that. Trauma is with everybody. We all suffer all sorts of traumas. Even not having a cup of tea can be traumatic. I'm fasting, by the way, at the moment. But also finding out what we as groups can do to help people with the traumas and moving them forward on. I should stop using the word trauma, I think, because it feels very traumatic when you use trauma.
And now here's the next story. A middle-aged man cheerily finishes his Nando's takeaways and unmutes his video feed.
I didn't want you to have to listen to me eating.
He says, grinning before reaching down to pick something up. He plonks the fluffiest puppy on his lap and strokes it, grin ever wider, almost as if he's anticipating the coos and ahs that erupt from the other people on the call.
We're with the service users of a charity that offers support to those that have left ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities across the UK. These are members that live or have lived in Barnet.
Puppy, no longer on his lap, face much sterner, the man tells the group.
When I was in my hour of need, public services in Barnet were shocking, dismal.
He explains how mental health issues led him to become homeless. He looks around his flat, his voice echoing off the empty walls.
Barnet are known for having the worst council accommodation. Properties are shockingly disgusting.
And then tells us how he got out of the situation.
No thanks to Barnet. I had to do it privately, finding my own housing charities. If you're self-sufficient and working, Barnet is great. But there is a big disparity between those who need and those who have.
He picks up the puppy, gives it a big squeeze and holds its head towards the camera. He grins, telling everyone how much his kids love coming to stay and playing with the dog. He puts the dog down, checks his phone, then grins again.
Oh, Spurs are winning 1-0.
He says. Here are two people responding to that story.
Just how individual and different it is. The homeless issue got me because I remember thinking when they suddenly found accommodation for everybody, I thought, you know, so why didn't they before? You know, if it's possible during the pandemic, why wasn't it done before? And this sort of feeling of helplessness against how things are done and inability to do anything about it is and it's not true. I know that. I know one can do small things, but I suppose it's the matter of seeing the positive and not the negative.
I really was interested because when I heard the first story, I feel really happy because I think he's like enjoying the Nando's and he saw a puppy and he's really adorable. And I feel really happy for him, like, you know.
And now for our final story.
It's the final few minutes of our session with the second group from the Inclusive Theatre Company for Young Adults. We told you about the other group earlier. They were loud and rambunctious, and this group are much the same. But whereas we joined the previous group's conversation at the beginning, we're joining this conversation at the end.
Over the past hour, we've laughed a lot. People have shared their thoughts and feelings about Barnet, about the world, about COVID, about lots and lots of things. But now we're talking about the future, about what's to come, about hopes and fears and dreams. Agree or disagree, the future will be better than the present. And everyone has their say.
This year has been hard because of COVID, like we've been stuck at home. Our play was cancelled, we couldn't do it. You can't do plays on Zoom, no way. Can't do songs on Zoom.
I hope it will. Hope to God it will be better than now. I thought the show was going to go ahead, but then it got cancelled. We will get through this difficult time. I'm determined. I am the Determinator.
I think it will be better. I will be able to go outside and meet people.
I hate being stuck in. I like meeting people. I love this group so much. We're like a family all together. I'm looking forward to the jab, to getting back to normal.
I hope it will be better too. I hope that there'll be no more lockdowns. I want to go back to playing sports. Rugby on Mondays, tennis on Tuesdays, running Wednesday.
I want to go back to dance and singing lessons.
We're a team. We're meant to make this happen as a team.
I hope COVID will go away and people take the vaccine.
My feelings are that I'm being patient at the moment. I'm hoping our hopes for the future will be better than ever. Last year was a horrible year. It's a long story. I can't tell you exactly, but I might be able to tell you in the future.
We're now going to play you clips of people responding to all of those stories that you've just heard. People responding to them as a set of stories. Now, we think all of these comments are about listening, being seen, being heard, and connection. You may agree, you may disagree. When you're listening, we ask you to take a moment to really try to hear them and to feel how they connect with you.
Oh, that's so much to take from those stories. I've got things that are just really stood out for me. There's the person that says, if they don't like me, they don't like me. And I'm just like, boom, exactly, get in there. That's how you got to live. And then there's another young person who is the determined leader. And they're like, and I'm like, yes, bring that energy. That's how we're going to boot this bloody COVID into the long grass.
Has anyone else got something they'd like to share?
I feel like we have a very big disparity between, well, people confuse human rights issues with political issues. About how, you know, when everyone was like giving to the food banks, like the beginning of COVID, and like that was this whole like influx of help. I think that just reminded me of how people are very keen to help others when they don't have to go out of their way or when there's something in it for them. Kind of like the whole getting on the bandwagon, like, oh yeah, we're all doing this amazing thing. And it's a bit of like a subversion of a savior complex, isn't it? But then as soon as the spotlight, I guess, goes away, people aren't willing to put the work in behind the scenes. And I think it's just kind of trying to identify why that's the case. Perhaps it's because I think to acknowledge that people lack in something and that you are able to help them also means that you have to acknowledge that in some way you are advantaged. And I don't think people like to admit their own advantage and how it's helped them.
I'm kind of struggling to put my thoughts into words. I think the main thing that's really struck me is that this conversation we're having right now, following that story that you told, has been so different from all of our other responses. So immediately everyone's gone, isn't homelessness a horrible issue? And I completely agree with that. I'm not saying that shouldn't be said, but I just think it's interesting how sometimes we still, and I guess I know I'm guilty of it as well, but it's very easy to look at these people as other in a way. I think, yeah, a lot of the time people forget to actually listen to what they're saying, and we're not really listening to the points they're making, and we aren't really discussing how they connect to us and the stories we've just heard. If that makes sense.
They say, oh, I don't care if people don't like me, you just got to go in there, etc., etc. Someone also highlighted the woman, I think it was you actually, the woman who was like, there's no community on my street. And you were like, well, it's not unattainable. I think those two things made me really think about the fear that we have nowadays of being judged by other people and how that fear can actually stop you from doing things in the first place. And I think then hearing the last story of that theatre group that we've all been talking about how they all like really valued each other's company and stuff. And then I think it made me think about how in, I guess, a society where we don't make connections because we're too scared that we're going to be judged by people, when you do find a group of people who do accept you, and when you do put yourself out there and that is the result, how kind of important that is and how valuable those connections can be.
Just something simple like I live in a very short street in a cul-de-sac, although there's a school right across from us and there's a lot going to and from when the school is in. But before the pandemic, there was, apart from those very close in the road near me that I got to know very well, a lot of the other people in the road, even though it's a short street, virtually didn't even say hello to one another. But now I have got to know so many people within the street, and we stop and chat. People are wanting to make more connections because they're isolated more. And I find that quite interesting and hoping that it will go forward and that people will connect more than they have in the past.
Oh, is my connection gone?
You're fine.
No, okay, everyone just froze. I was like, what was I saying?
Talk to each other, it's much easier to get into a conversation and there's a different feel about it. And also it depends, there's a sort of real loneliness and isolation, and there is your internal loneliness and isolation. And I know I tend to be I tend to feel very lonely when really I don't have any reason to feel lonely. But it's part of me, and I've got to learn to separate that. And I'm very much interested in creating community. I've been thinking of different ways of doing it, and different, you know, because I think we kind of lack it at the moment, and there are so many different things going on in a small area. It's just unbelievable. Especially, I mean, Barnet is huge, but if you just take a block, a street block, I've often thought this, all the different lives that are going on in that, but all the things that are going on and all the different perspectives are just enormous, and it's sometimes very difficult to see the other person's point of view unless you actually have a chance to meet it in some way and to interact with it.
2 points. One is, people talk about a good lockdown, and I'm somewhat concerned about this phraseology. I think about my mother's stories about working through the Blitz with my father fighting in Burma for 3 years, and she said, we just got on with it. And where's the narrative? Yes, we're in a situation. We didn't ask for it. We're here. You have to get on with it and make the best you can. And there are plenty of facilities available. Just get on with it. That I didn't hear. Maybe it's my age, but I think, and I get this from my daughter and her children, too much whinging. Get on with it. If you think I'm a grumpy old man, I take that as a compliment.
And there's, you know, coming back here, I've been away for almost 40 years. And coming back here, I was hoping to reconnect with some relatives I have. Of course, I've been away for so long that we've moved apart, you know, and that's a big disappointment for me, big sort of feeling of I've been rejected, when in fact I haven't. It's just I was the one who moved away, you know. But they're not interested now, you know, they've got their own lives and their own, I mean, they are to a certain extent, but I'm kind of on the outside. There's a deep, deep feeling for a wish for connection, but not sure how to go about it. You know, I'm not sure how to do it, especially with mixed generation, you know, not just... things are always generationally separated, like U3A or something like that. I wish there were more intergenerational things like this, which is nice to see.
And the second point is that we have a corner house with garden all around the house. And I tried a little experiment. I'm always in the garden, gardening, weeding, whatever. Some people go past, studiously avoiding my eye. You can see them doing that. With others, I just smile and say good morning or hello. And it's amazing the difference in reaction. If you make the first step, it's amazing what springs out of it, particularly with children. Children sometimes stop and look through the gates. I just stop and say, hello, would you like to help me? And look at their parents and they smile. So there's something there about saying to people, make the first step. You may get rebuffed, but who cares? You're never going to see these people again. I'd like to see that in there somewhere, of learning to open up a bit.
But I feel like people need to be more kind and thoughtful to each other, and they don't realise, like, how like lonely someone can be and what their situation is. So I think people just need to be more thoughtful.
We're reaching the end of our podcast, so I just want to say thank you all very much for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We're going to leave you with one final comment now.
About a bus stop.
A debate about something. Because, I always remember talking about that. I was at a bus stop one day, and I think I said, and it was pouring with rain, and I said to this lady, oh, this is a dreadful day, isn't it? Look, it's pouring with rain. And she said, I think she must have been a coach. She said, listen, my dear, you should be glad you woke up this morning. There will be people who did not wake up this morning. So, and that really just put it in perspective, you know. Exactly, you know, the things that we sometimes just take for granted, you know, that you wake up every morning, you get through a day, you sleep at night, and it's not the same for everybody. You know, people's lives are all different, aren't they?
That's the end of our time together.
And okay. Thank you once again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Great session.
You, Me, The World and Barnett was a project delivered by Take Stock Exchange and Arts Depot. Thank you to all the participants and community groups that took part and the many community organisers who helped to make the project happen and helped to make our communities and the lives of so many people so much better. Your work is invaluable and you deserve all the support in the world. We usually meet people, but at this difficult time, we made it happen remotely and we're grateful for that. You can find out more about us and our work by going to our website, takestockexchange.co.uk.
We created and delivered this project in collaboration with Arts Depot. It's funded through Here and Now, which is led by Future Arts Centres and supported by Arts Council England, marking the National Lottery's 25th birthday. That's a big happy birthday from us to the lottery. The project was conceived and delivered by Take Stock Exchange. That's Nick Kassenbaum, Ollie Hawes and Anna Smith. Music by Anna Lowenstein. This podcast is produced by Penny Bell. And we've got some big thank yous. We'd like to thank Louisa Bartlett-Pastel and Francesca Cross and everyone else at Arts Depot, Moena and Sunny Johnson, Isabel Catino, John Geeson, Ben Abramovich, Ted Maxwell and Mary Osborne. And again, to all the participants of all the workshops, the organisers of each group we worked with and the community of Barnet.
I'm struggling to hear you a little bit.
Do you not hear me?
And I will hand over to Nick.
Guys, I am so sorry. I thought I'd press record, but I hadn't.
Nick.
I am so sorry.